welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Tom Edwards. It's time for our weekly book review. Today we're speaking with Charmaine Lovegrove, co-founder of page-to-screen consultancy Dialogue Scouting. Charmaine's just back from the Calabash Festival, the renowned international literary event in Jamaica. What was everyone talking about? Who captured people's imagination? Charmaine is here to tell us all about it. That's ahead on the Monocle Arts Review with me, Tom Edwards. Welcome to the show, Charmaine. You're freshly arrived back from Jamaica just in the last 24 hours or so. And we're going to talk a lot about the Calabash International Literary Festival. But I actually wanted to begin by asking about your own sort of local links, because as I understand it, this was your first trip to Jamaica, even though you have the sort of very established family connections there.
Yeah, so all of my four grandparents are Jamaican, and my grandma, on my maternal grandma, who I'm the closest to, is probably the closest person to me in the world. She's from Treasure Beach, St. Elizabeth, Treasure Beach, Calabash Bay. So the idea that this incredible festival, which I've been hearing about, happens on exactly the land that my family have been living in and my, you know, growing up in over generations. And my family are very mixed and have Scottish and Indian and German blood, and their name is the Parchment family. And so the idea that our family is sort of named after paper, I work in publishing, this festival happens, it's all
kind of amazing. It sounds like a plot from a film, indeed, that you might want
indeed,
to develop.
It does, indeed.
Now, I guess, we need to talk about books, but it strikes me as interesting that you've not been to Jamaica previously.
Yeah.
We don't need to get into the personal nitty-gritty, but how come it's taken you so long?
Well, I just think, you know, Jamaica has been quite turbulent, and when you are, my family aren't returnees on the English side, and I just could see that I'd probably get into quite a lot of trouble and do things that I probably wasn't supposed to do when I was younger. So now that I am a married woman with a child and I can keep myself out of trouble, then this is a perfect time for me to go and enjoy the authors and the land and that incredible sea. I mean, the most instant thing is I can see why the area is called Treasure Beach. I can see why it's named that, and it is absolutely stunning and rural and this sort of sleepy town. So I was there for a few days before the festival and enjoying my family and my Aunt Evelyn's cooking. And then suddenly you have 3,000 to 4,000 people that come from all over the country, but all over the Caribbean and then all over the world to this really sleepy, tiny village.
Well, this is the thing that strikes me as so interesting. Is it, I don't know, what's the mood? Because obviously certain literary events, they're very cosmopolitan, international by their nature. Does this have a different quality? Is the sort of the environment there so kind of powerfully intoxicating that it does inform everything about the event?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I would actually be hesitant to say that I don't think that any other literary festival in the world could really call itself international at this point, having been to this, because I have never encountered so many different types of voices from, you know, very white English to Jamaican to white Jamaican to Indian, just Nigerian. It puts other literary festivals to shame and publishers to shame in this country, I think, when we're talking about, you know, BAME and international literature, BAME being Black, Asian, Minority, Ethnic, and international literature. And Justine Hensel and Kwame Dawes, who are the producers of this festival, have put something together that is so unique and sort of captures this like lively, energetic mood from the audience and the place. And you just think, why is this not possible anywhere else?
And how have they done that then? Is it the lack of, you know, big corporate interest? Is it just something about the honesty of their approach? Is it the fact that, did it start rather organically? Because one would imagine that, you know, a lot of people would be seeking to do exactly that, to truly capture an independent spirit with these sorts of events. But it is tricky. What's the chemistry? Why have they managed to get it so right?
I think because they actually genuinely show a love of literature and the organisers, and also of the land. They're so respectful of the land and the people and the community that is kind of, you know, where St. Elizabeth is at the centre of it. But the community, and I think that Justine and Kwame and their team were just incredible hosts. And the authors are just kind of like, please, can we come back? And the authors, you know, Jeff Dyer said when he was reading that this really is the best literary festival in the world. Robert McCrum writing in The Observer about it, this is the best literary in the world, literary festival in the world. You know, this isn't hyperbole. This is the truth.
And it's funny, I sort of said dismissively, oh, you know, it's not about big corporations. But of course, it's a free event. And actually, the money comes from, there's grants from central government, but there's also sponsors who obviously are very much on board with the sort of the tenor of the event. So I shouldn't badmouth the big companies necessarily.
Exactly, but that free, you know, but it's also very discreet, and what's at the centre of it is the audience as well. And the audience, as I said, I've never seen such a mixed audience of people, and because they're coming from all over the place, and you suddenly realise that, you know, the Jamaican infrastructure of people is really wide and as varied as it is in London, but that suddenly all these people from all over the world can be in this space, and because it's for free, then there is no, you just need to get there, and that's something that is really, really, really special.
Well, let's look at the people who were indeed there, who managed to make that journey, starting actually with people who maybe didn't travel so far, local authors. And you had all sorts of amazing talent there. Headliner, I guess one of them would be the Man Booker Prize winner, Marlon James, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. And to hear him reading from Brief History of Seven Killings in Patois in Jamaica. And, you know, it's quite a wealthy crowd that goes, you know, from Kingston and from the hills, you know, and you know, Jamaica's elite have definitely there by nature of it being a literary festival. And, you know, it's really interesting to hear his language and him kind of cussing in Jamaica and speaking in Patois, and having met Marlon before, it was seeing him in his home environment and then listening to the book against the tide and the waves. There was something incredibly magical about that.
Well, and what about the fact, I know obviously his own relationship with Jamaica, he'd said, you know, he would have to leave the country by plane or in a coffin back there. What's the reaction to him now? He's got this notoriety, his fame. Is it very different from what you'd imagined?
I think that people are just incredibly grateful that, you know, he's helped to put Jamaica on the map, and the fact that his book is about the biggest singer one of the biggest singers in history, who is Jamaican, Bob Marley, and referred to in the book as the singer. I think that just means a lot to people, and the fact that the Patois language is so kind of crucial to the area and to the culture, and that he can use it so freely and reminds people of like the duality of culture from the motherland of England to the island of Jamaica to America that people have from there.
Charmaine, what about some other sort of local talents? Were there people you think, look, this is the next big breakout? Were there people that piqued your interest, you know, professionally in terms of, you know, ideas ripe for development? What kind of talent was knocking around?
So I absolutely loved Here Comes the Sun by Nicole Dennis-Benn, who is originally from Kingston and now lives with her wife in New York. And her book will be published in July by Norton. And again, you know, thinking about sort of Jamaican language and patois within a prose, I think is still really new to us. When we see black writers, as I've said on the show before, we normally see them from sort of Africa, Africans that live in America. And so this voice from the Caribbean is quite new, which it shouldn't be, because obviously we've had in history like a lot of sort of white English writers going to America, going to the Caribbean, going to Jamaica, and then bringing their work back. So it's great to see this, that Jamaican prose and Jamaican patois is now on the page. So Nicole Dennis-Brown, her book, I'll be talking about in July when it comes out. And also Diana McCauley, Gone to Drift. She won second place in the Burt Prize for Caribbean Literature, and Pamela Mordecai. You know, that these women were just like so sensational in terms of their language, their creative freedom, the narrative, and allowing, you know, I always believe that like the core of a story is bringing us into a world that we think that we know about, but then actually surprising us by bringing us something totally different. And so writers like that, and Kai Miller, who's based in London, and is originally from Jamaica and is a poet. And his book, August Town, is coming out shortly. And I'll also be reviewing that on the show.
Exciting to look forward to. Just on that point about the sort of literary scene within Jamaica, is it vibrant? Is it thriving? Is it a question of having, you know, your sort of Marlon James's to sort of make the rest of the world, if you like, sit up and take notice? Or is there a momentum, if you like, of its own internally?
Yeah, I mean, Jamaica's like a hugely highly educated country, you know. Each Caribbean island has its own, and West Indian Island has its own specialism in terms of sort of university. So, you know, in Jamaica, it's medicine. But there's always been, like, you know, Jamaica and culture in general is really, really strong. And, you know, lyricism and poetry and the written word. It's just that I think that I can't put my finger on why. And I'd love for publishers to in Britain and America to explain to me more why we haven't been able to hear these stories before and why they're only coming now. But I certainly felt like as a third generation immigrant that I was lacking these stories. And this week, like, hugely filled a hole for me in terms of hearing great storytelling from the island that my family are from that I don't think was exclusive for me to enjoy, but it's for everybody to understand those stories.
Well, on that idea of the universality, if you like, what about the international authors who are there? You mentioned a couple briefly already in the programme. Again, some stellar names. Did they find a happy home at the event? Did it all work very well?
Jeff Dyer reading from his book White Sands was probably one of the funniest, most captivating literary talks I've ever seen. I mean, you know, I've known Jeff for about 17 years and he's absolutely hilarious and very deadpan and very British, and everyone just got it. And he just, you know what, that was, you know, there were so many people, you know, there was probably like 2,000 people in the room, well, under tents. It's not a room, it's massive tented area. That was great. Teju Cole, you know, he is a brilliant mind from Nigeria. Chikozie Obiama, who was on the Booker Prize shortlist and has won numerous awards, you know, he wrote The Fisherman. And, you know, so to have Nigerian African voices as well in the mix, Tashani Dozie from India, and Eleanor Catton from New Zealand, who also won the Booker Prize a few years ago. So this sort of mix of internationalism was sort of really important and no less celebrated. And I think that was kind of the core to it, that there was nothing exclusive about it. And it was a pride. You know, Jamaica's motto is one nation, many people. And, you know, it surprises people that, you know, some of the best Chinese food you can get in the world is from Jamaica, and the fact that there are a lot of Asian people that live there, and there's a lot of people from all over the world, and it's something that people aren't aware of. So all of these people fit in, like, totally, you know, got it and got the rhythm and the culture, and that was really inspiring.
One thing that always strikes me about smaller literary festivals of this type that really seem to inspire and have such a kind of incredible dynamism is there's almost a sort of a reverse economy of scale. Because they're a little smaller, it allows for more creativity, more innovation. Do you worry that once word gets around, you know, if enough critics and you know, journalists and other professional people in this world say, look, this is the best place, that it changes it almost by definition, that it shifts the attitude and people's expectations are different? Do you worry about that, or do you think that kind of core message of the people who run this is so strong that it can endure, you know, a bit more interest, a bit more of a high profile elsewhere?
Well, as I said, like, Kwame and Justine, you know, they live in Jamaica and they understand what, you know, exactly we're doing, and the festival is held at Jake's, which is run by Justine's brother, Jason, and their father, Perry Hensel, he made the film, he produced the film The Harder They Come. So, you know, they've got this history of being, like, culturally aware, and they're very ethical people. And this boutique hotel, Jake's, where is one of the locations of the festival, and Jack Spratt's, which is owned by the same people, which is like a seafood restaurant, you know, it is in its space, and, you know, it doesn't need to grow any bigger. It just needs to, you know, the intimacy. There is a lot of space there, but the intimacy of the people who feel complicit, who come from really far away, those people feel complicit in the festival. And that's what makes it really exciting. And I think that their cultural heritage and marks, you know, lays the foundation.
Well, you've painted a wonderful picture of it. It sounds lovely. And you painted a pretty nice picture of your general time spent back in Jamaica. Will you now be revising your itinerary and heading back often?
I just told my husband today that I'm going back in October. But the one thing that I want to mention before we finish is actually like the music. So then they had this huge stage after all the readings each day. And there was a great musician called Protégé, who is kind of a protégé to Bob Marley, who is a very activist, political lyricist, and is incredible. Sunshine, rivers and trees, green leaves, yeah. When the rain hits a bad funny roof, herb just a steam, pepper pot, funny stew. Life is a dream if you got gratitude. So go tell the regime, them can't stop where we do now. Information you think on your own. And then on the last night, it was like this massive bashment, reggae and dance hall. And it was totally electrifying by a female DJ Sparks and DJ Bambino, who was the MC. And like the music, you know, Jamaican music and reggae is out, you know, we all love it. I mean, I've yet to meet someone that doesn't. And that was also the framework, that there can always be this duality of culture. There can always be this like mix of how we live in the world. And it doesn't have to be that because we're literary, we can't also dance. And normally that's the case, that it's very staid, but this was like proper Jamaican dance hall, and watching authors that I normally see at like Cheltenham like winding up was like, you know, those are the things.
That's quite a different
and
dynamic.
Exactly. And I, you know, that to me was like that music and culture and language and lyricism, you know, that was in you know, 30 degrees heat at night with the waves crashing around you. It was just magical.
It sounds wonderful. Charmaine, thanks so much for coming to tell us all about it. That's our guest today, Charmaine Lovegrove, just back from Jamaica. That's the Monocle Arts Review with me, Tom Edwards. The show is produced by Fernando Augusto Pacheco. Join us again at the same time tomorrow. Film review is what you'll have to look forward to. But for now, goodbye. Thanks very much for listening.